back to episode 12 of Beaver Dam. I'm your host, Patrick Stillman, joined alongside Grant Ingham. Grant, we're back for spring semester. How was your Christmas break? How you doing? Are you glad to be back here on campus, or are you missing home a little bit?
Nah, I'm happy to be back. Christmas was good, but way too long, 2.5 months away from you and away from everybody else was a bit too long.
I missed you so much over break. It felt like it was a little too long. Like, I was ready for break, and then it was about a month and a half in, and I was like, okay, I'm ready to be back at Bluffton. I'm just back to like a normal schedule, and just getting back to Bluffton sports. I mean, this spring semester is going to be action-packed with every single Bluffton sport that we have is going to be competing at some point during this spring semester, which for us is exciting because we finally have sports to be able to talk about. But for coaches and the athletes, we're going to be pretty tired as the seasons are pretty compact into basically 1 month for every sport. So it's going to be overall just a big and crazy time. But joining alongside us this semester, we have freshman Garrett Heitkamp. Garrett, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody.
So as you guys know, my name is Garrett Heitkamp. I'm a freshman, accounting major, and I play soccer here at Bluffton. And then I'd say, and I'm from Jackson Center, Ohio. And I'd say one fun fact about me is that I'm a Browns fan. I've been through the thick and thin. You know, finally seeing a sunrise on the horizon.
Yeah, poor Garrett's been through it all. Being a Browns fan, and for me being a Colts fan, at least I've had a Super Bowl within the last 20 years. But unfortunately for Garrett, they finally made the playoffs, but was heartbroken last weekend. So he said he's now a Bills fan, rooting against the Chiefs. So I think we're all Bills fans, as we don't want the Chiefs to repeat. But overall, we're happy to have Garrett here. It's going to be a great time. As you can see, this studio is full of soccer guys. We're getting some soccer guys here on the radio. And Garrett and Grant are going to be the ones kind of taking over the Beaver Dam and also calling all the basketball games starting next year, because unfortunately I'll be graduating and moving on to what people say bigger and better things. I'm still not sure about that one just yet, but I'm pretty excited to be able to have both of these guys in here, kind of be able to train them up and have them ready to go. So when I'm gone, I can tune back into the Beaver Dam and hear these guys just absolutely killing it. But I think we, Grant, you and I need to kind of hit on the change in the conference play, especially for men's and women's basketball. So you want to go ahead and talk about how they've kind of changed the schedule because of COVID?
So it was opening up, when we originally had looked at it in the fall, it was supposed to be what everybody, almost a normal schedule, playing everybody home and away in a full, what would be 18 games. But now COVID, and then it got cut to only playing a certain amount of teams twice, and we're like, okay, that's still somewhat normal. And then over Christmas break, we had looked at it, and it got changed to playing a home and away every Friday, Saturday against six of the nine opponents, and more regionalized, if anything, to make the travel easier on all the teams. And it's led to some interesting results across the conference, and it's just led to what honestly will be a tougher season in general, and more about coaching in depth, which I think I think goes with all the strengths of both the men's and the women's program.
Yeah, so a big thing the HCAC passed was that no teams are allowed to spend the night, and so that had a huge effect on when and where teams were going to play. And so deciding to cut it down to the six, out of playing only six out of the nine teams, that cut Franklin, Rose Holman, and Transylvania out of our schedule, which is a very favorable for the Beavers, as a lot of those teams were ranked in the top
three, four, five
in the conference for both the men and the women. So it causes a very favorable schedule for both the men and the women. And we're going to go ahead and get into how they're doing so far. So conference play did open up last Friday, January 15th, as the Beavers improved to 7-1 following their first game since December 12th with a 80-67 victory over the Defiance Yellow Jackets at Defiance.
Consecutive triples by Brianna Gillig and 10 points by the junior in less than 3 minutes propelled Bluffton to a quick 12-4 lead at the 7:04 mark of the first quarter. The home team pulled within a point at 18-17 with a minute to play in the opening stanza before the Claire Myrie trifecta made it 21-17 heading into period two.
A 9-1 spurt to the second quarter made it 30-18 thanks to consecutive deuces from Emma Saltzman and a deep ball by Nora Heminger. 10 straight points from freshman Maddie Fitzpatrick helped the Beavers blow it wide open as the visitors took a commanding 44-24 advantage at the break.
The Beavers stayed in control throughout the third quarter as Taylor Mallison got to the rack twice in an 18-second span en route to a 60-46 lead going to the final stanza.
Gillig and Sammy Shardo dialed long distance to open the fourth quarter, and the Beavers never looked back. An 11.5 minutes for Gillig sent the Beavers to a 76-54 lead midway through the fourth, and it sent her to the bench as the juniors' night was done. Mallison put it on ice with her triple at the 130 mark as the visitors capped off an 80-67 victory in the first game of 2021.
Coming in just 1 point off her career best was Gillig, who hit 4 from 5 from the three for 28 points. Fitzpatrick dropped 12, while Saltzman and Mallison added 10 points apiece. Gillig pulled down a game-high 7 rebounds for the visitors. Shardo and Kylie Brock doled out 4 assists each, and Fitzpatrick picked up 3 steals. Shardo stuffed the Jackets twice.
Bluffton went 28-64, 43.8%, including a sparkling 13 of 30, 43.3% from outside the arc. The Beavers pulled down 15 more rebounds, 43-28, and turned it over 2 fewer times, 20-18. The visitors also spread the wealth with 19 assists on Friday night. And like we said, it was then a back-to-back as now the Yellow Jackets traveled to Bluffton University on Saturday for the second time in 22 hours. They had ran a game against the Defiance County Defiance Yellow Jackets. Bluffton built a 44-12 lead at the break and was never challenged in its 75-54 victory over Defiance College. The Beavers improved to 8-1 on the season, while Defiance slipped to 0-2.
Even though they played just the previous night, the Beavers showed no signs of fatigue in the first quarter, outscoring Defiance 18-5 during the opening stanza. Freshman Taylor Mallison got the ladies going with 5 first quarter points, including a trifecta from deep. Junior Emma Saltzman tossed in 4 points of her own, looking dominant in the paint.
The second quarter was all Sammy Shardo. The sophomore sharpshooter was 4 for 4 from the field and 2 for 2 behind the arc, tallying 10 points for the Beavers. Freshman Sydney Cavanaugh added 5 markers for the women off the bench. The Beavers opened a commanding 44-12 lead at the break thanks to outscoring the Jackets 26-7 in period two.
It was more of the same for the Beavers in the third quarter. Shardo knocked down her third triple of the night, while Mallison scored 2 more buckets. Saltzman kept control of the paint with another four points and a rebound.
The fourth was too little too late for the Yellow Jackets. Bree Gillig put it on ice with a giant hoop and harm late in the game, giving her 5 tallies in the quarter. Freshman Angel Schneider got going late as well, making 2 smooth shots to give her 4 counters in the final period as the Avs Bluffton rolled to a 75-54 victory.
Mallison and Shardo paced the Beavers with 13 apiece, while Saltzman took care of business down low with 12 points and 3 rebounds. Shardo and Peyton Henry took care of the ball handling duties, both dishing out 5 assists for the victors. Senior Nora Heminger came away with a team-high 4 steals. Gillig chipped in with 9 points and 7 rebounds.
Beavers shot 49.2% from the field compared to Defiance, just 25.8%. Bluffton also bested the Yellow Jackets from the 3-point line, knocking down 10 of 23 for 43.5% compared to 22.2%, 4 of 18 for the visitors. The Beavers ripped down 9 more boards, 48-39, but they also turned it over 9 more times, 24-15. And so the Beavers were back in action at Earlham on Friday, January 22nd, as give me a second, I have these out of order. Okay, here we go. Got it. Friday, January 2nd. It was a close contest, but the Beavers held on to a 58-49 win, moving the Beavers to 9-1 on the year.
The visitors started off the game slowly, falling behind 15-9 at the end of the first quarter. Bree Gillig fueled the Beavers in the first with 4 early points and a steal. Emma Stoltzman cleaned up the boards as well with 2 rebounds of her own.
In the second, the scoring picked up for the women, with Nora Heminger scoring a pair of layups, including an old-fashioned three-point play, to give the Beavers momentum. Freshman Taylor Mallison dished out two assists in the first half, including a dime to Gillig at the 5:21 mark. Gillig's trifecta gave the Beavers their first lead of the game, 19-18. Going into the half, it was 23-22 in favor of Bluffton.
Sophomore Sammy Shardo got the Beavers going right out of the gate in the second half with four quick points. Gillig Saltzman and Abby Parkins all added free throws in the quarter to make it 42-37 after three quarters.
In the fourth and final stanza, freshman Maddie Fitzpatrick made her second three-pointer of the game to open the stanza. Heminger and Perkins didn't let their foot off the gas, adding 7 points in the quarter as the Beavers held on to defeat the Quakers 58-49.
The two Beavers in double digits were Gillig and Heminger with 15 and 12, respectively. Heminger and Shardo dished out two assists apiece. Shardo also shared the title of leading the team in rebounding with Saltzman as they each pulled down five rebounds.
Bluffton shot 41.5%, 22 of 53 from the field, compared to the Quakers' 37.7%. Earlham did win one stat line against the Beavers, though, shooting 28.6% next to Beavers' 21.4%, 3 of 14 from the three-point line. The Quakers turned it over five more times, 21-16, and the visitors controlled the paint 32-20. And the Beavers were back in action for a tip-off at 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, January 23rd, as Bluffton took down Earlham 59-38 to start the season 10-1 on the season and 4-0 in the conference.
Gillig was focused right out of the gate, netting 6 points in the first quarter. Sophomore Sammy Shardo was distributing the rock in the first, handing out two assists as well as knocking down an early three. At the end of the first, the Beavers held an 18-12 lead.
In the second, it was more of the same, with Gillig scoring another six and Shardo dialing long distance. Freshman Sydney Cavanaugh got involved off the bench, hitting a deep trifecta, helping the Beavers open a comfortable 32-17 margin at the half.
Shardo exploded in the third quarter, netting three more triples en route to five of them for the evening. Freshman point guard Matty Fitzpatrick hit a three as well, allowing the home team to double up Earlham 54-27 heading to the final quarter.
In the fourth, Kylie Brock broke the silence, scoring three of the Beavers' 5 points in the fourth quarter. Taylor Mallison made two of three from the free throw line, with 20 ticks remaining to seal the 59-38 victory at home on Saturday evening.
The two high scorers for the Beavers with 15 apiece were Shardo and Gillig. Gillig also grabbed 10 rebounds in the game for a hard-earned double-double. Mallison, Shardo, and Abby Parkins took care of the ball-handling duties, all dishing out three assists in the victory. Shardo was 5-for-11 from three.
The Beavers shot 30.3%, 20 of 66 from the field, compared to the Quakers' 25%, 11 of 44. From deep, Bluffton was 9 for 26, shooting 34.6%, while Earlham missed all 10 of its attempts from outside the arc. Bluffton took advantage of the Earlham miscues with a commanding 30-13 edge in points off turnovers, and Bluffton's bench outscored the Quakers 23-9. The Beavers turned it over 20 times, but the Quakers topped them with 29 turnovers on Saturday. The women will be back in action next Friday, January 29th, at Manchester. Tip-off with the Spartans, who the Beavers played four times back in November, is slated for 7 p.m., and then they will turn around and play at 3 p.m. on Saturday here at the Sommer Center. Overall, you have to be extremely happy with how the women have started off this season. To go 4-0 in the conference is exactly where Coach Shetler would like to be. What do you think, Grant?
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for much better. We talked about it on the stream last night. I mean, there are mistakes that have been made, but you can only improve off of those mistakes. And 4-0 and added depth from the bench is exactly what you want. And hopefully, they'll be favored going in next week against Manchester, both home and away. And hopefully they can get to 6-0 as well.
I think talking about depth is going to be huge as well. And Garrett, you might want to hint here on just the amount of depth. I mean, the team goes and plays 11, sometimes even 12 deep, as we didn't even see Peyton Henry this weekend due to her being injured. So you want to talk about just the depth of this team, even though there are a lot of freshmen playing, just the fact that Coach Shetler can go 11, 12 deep in a COVID season when you're playing back-to-backs, how important that's going to be for the Beavers?
Very important. As you mentioned, it's a COVID season, and anything can happen to anyone in the starting lineup. And when a starter goes down, they have experience off the bench, possibly late in game for foul trouble or just because of COVID, they can step up and give Coach Shuttler that confidence of putting them in off the bench.
Yeah, I think that's going to be extremely important for the Beavers this season, just because of the fact of you never know who's going to go out with contact tracing. You never know whose legs are just going to be absolutely exhausted from the night before playing on a Friday to Saturday night. And it also allows the Beavers to be able to rest some legs as well on a Friday night when because of playing so many girls and having such a deep bench. I think it'll have a huge effect on the Beavers, especially as you get later into the season. We are going to move on here now to men's basketball, as the Bluffton University men's basketball team built a 25-point lead and coasted in for a 71-64 victory over Defiance. At Defiance on Friday, January 15th, Bluffton stayed perfect at 4-0 while Defiance opened its season with a loss.
With the game tied at 6 apiece early, the visitors went on a quick 10-0 run powered by 4 points apiece from freshman Marcus Peaks and Chad Fry. The lead ballooned as Marcus Bruns got to the rack twice, Ryan Rose drained a deep three, and Desmond Brown scored 5 straight to make it 39-17 at the half.
Jamil Cosby picked the Jackets off in less than a minute into the second period and rammed it home for a 43-22 lead, and then he followed a Brown triple with his own third basket of the half for a 48-24 spread. When sophomore Mike Kentner found Aaron Rich for an easy two, the visitors had their largest lead of the game at 56-31.
Defiance battled back, making an 11-point game over 6 minutes to play before Brown's hit from deep, allowing the good guys to stay in control. Cosby and Brown combined to go 6 of 8 at the stripe down the stretch to seal Bluffton's 71-64 victory over the rival Jackets.
Cosby led the way with 20 points on a 7 of 14 from the field performance. Brown added 11 counters and Bruns chipped in with 9. Peaks and Kettner both tallied 8 points for the victors. Rich ripped down a game-high 11 boards and just missed out on a double-double with 8 points. Cosby and Kettner dished out 4 assists apiece.
Bluffton hit 28 for 58 from the field and 9 for 12 from at the line. The Beavers dominated the boards, but they also turned it over 6 more times.
And the Beavers were back in action at the Sommer Center as they played host to the Defiance Yellow Jackets for a second straight win. With a 69-60 win, Bluffton moved to a perfect 5-0 on the season and 2-0 in the conference.
The Beavers started slowly in the first half, falling behind by 8. Things started to change when senior Aaron Rich began to heat up. Rich was 5 of 8 from the field in the first half with 10 points, and he also pulled down 5 rebounds. Fellow senior Desmond Brown got involved in the action, knocking down 2 threes on 3 attempts while scoring 6 points in the half.
Right before the intermission, junior Jamil Cosby gave the Beavers momentum with his second steal and layup of the game, giving him 6 in the first half as Bluffton took a 28-27 lead at the break.
The second half was a grind for the Beavers, but they powered through. Cosby kept on pace, scoring 12 for Bluffton as well as dishing out 2 assists. Standout sophomore Mike Kettner got hot late in the game, scoring 10 on 4 of 6 from the field. Brown did what he has done for 4 years now, making big shots, including 2 from downtown for 8 points in the half. The Beavers held on for the 69-60 victory.
Bluffton's outstanding backcourt duo of Cosby and Brown led the way with 18 and 14 respectively. Kettner and Rich both added 12, while Rich pulling down 8 rebounds for the Beavers. Ronnie James had 6 points and 2 assists, while his tough defense at the end of the game was instrumental in the victory. Cosby blocked a career-high 3 shots for the victors.
The Beavers shot 48% from the field compared to Defiance's 45%. While both teams did not shoot particularly well from deep, the Beavers converted 6 for 20 for 30%, besting the Yellow Jackets 20%.
Bluffton then returned to action at Defiance at Earlham on Friday, January 22nd, to battle the Quakers. The Beavers bested the home team, winning 69-55 and staying undefeated at 6-0 and 3-0 in the conference as the Quakers fell to 1-2.
The Beavers came out rolling in the first half, taking an early 11-2 lead over the Quakers. The momentum was fueled by junior guard Jamil Cosby, who was perfect from beyond the arc in the first, shooting a superb 3 for 3. He finished the half with a startling 21 points. Aaron Rich would not stand by and watch Cosby do it all by himself, though, adding 10 of his own first half points and dominating the paint in every aspect possible.
Going into the break, the Beavers led the Quakers by 12. Thanks to their stifling defense, Bluffton drained 50% from the floor and 30% from behind the arc, compared to Earlham's 38% from the floor and paltry 9% from deep.
The second half was more of the same for the Beavers, with their scoring staying steady, but the Quakers picked it up on their offensive end. Former HCAC Defensive Player of the Year Desmond Brown showed why he earned it with his 3-and-D abilities. Brown had a steal and 2 3-pointers to add to his total of 17 points. Marcus Bruns pulled down 2 more rebounds in the half to give him a total of 4 points and 4 boards for the game, as the Beavers went on to claim a 69-55 victory.
The 3 double-digit scores in the game were Cosby with a career-high 25, Desmond Brown with 17, and Aaron Rich with 16. Ronnie James and sophomore Mike Kettner led the squad with 4 assists apiece, and Rich pulled down a team-high 10 rebounds, giving him a double-double for the night. Brown finished with 3 steals, and Cosby blocked 3 Earlham shots.
The Beavers lit it up from 51% from the field compared to the Quakers' 40%. Bluffton pulled down 4 more rebounds, and the Beavers turned it over 2 fewer times.
Beavers were back in action that next day on Saturday, January 23rd, as the Bluffton men's squad defeated the Quakers in a stunning fashion, 67-45, as the Beavers stayed undefeated while moving to 7-0 on the season and 4-0 in the conference.
Beavers started out fast and furious against the Quakers. The backcourt duo of Desmond Brown and Jameel Cosby paced the home team in the first stanza with 8 points each. Senior Aaron Rich added 6 points while pulling down 7 boards for the Beavers. Mike Kettner knocked down 2 jumpers and made a pair of free throws to give him 6 at the first half. The Beavers led by 10 heading into the break.
In the second half, it was more of the same for Cosby, who torched the Quake show with 14 more points, dominating the game as he continued driving to the hoop and finishing or getting fouled. Rich kept control of the paint in the second, scoring 6 more points and ripping down 5 rebounds to go along with the steal. Sophomore Marcus Bruns looked smooth in the second half, tossing in 6 on 3 of 4, shooting, as well as snagging 4 rebounds.
The Beavers finished the game on a roll, scoring 35 in the half and winning with a score of 67-45. John Draper got his name in the book, driving down Broadway for an uncontested lay-in as time expired.
The double-digit scores for the Beavers were Cosby with 22, Rich with 12, and Brown also with 12. Cosby also handed out a team-best 4 assists. Rich finished with his 3rd double-double in 6 games, grabbing a team-high 12 boards to add to his 12 points.
The Beavers shot 46% from the floor compared to 38% for the Quakers. Bluffton was also just 1 for 11 from behind the arc, while Earlham shot 27%. Bluffton dominated the paint and also outscored the Quakers 12-0 on the second chance opportunities, and the Beavers also controlled the boards with a ridiculous 42-22 advantage on the glass.
The Beavers are back in action again next Friday, January 29th, when they welcome Manchester to the Sommer Center for a 7:30 p.m. tip. And so this next week will be a little bit different, as it will be the men at home on Friday against Manchester, and then the women at home on Saturday against Manchester. The men tip off at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, and the women tip off at 3 p.m. on Saturday. But overall, I mean, both basketball teams are 4-0, and if you're Coach Guy Neal, I mean, you lost 4 key seniors last year that played big minutes, and it seems like this team hasn't missed a beat, and they have just stepped up and are doing the usual that we expect out of a Bluffton Beavers basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the three-headed monster of Rich, Cosby, and Brown, and we, you know, kept saying their names going over the games, and they're going to continue to get theirs, and it's about you know, the rest of the team around them just being you know, contributors in whatever way they can, and they're going to be a good team this year. You can already see, and it's just about playing a clean 40 minutes every game you're out there, and the talent level will take you to wins, and hopefully, you know, 4-0 and hopefully 6-0, just like the women next week, and which they're going to be favored in against Manchester. The difficult part is you're playing, we talked about it yesterday, for the men's game, is playing the second game at home is easier to do than playing the second game away and bring your own energy at home. Next week they open up Friday at home and have to go to Manchester on Saturday. So should be interesting, a little switch up there, but I don't think it should be any different. You know, keep the wins coming.
Yeah, and I think for the men as well, and I think creating your own energy is going to be huge in every game now, and that home court advantage is definitely gone a little bit, other than the fact of having to get on a bus and travel down to a game. I mean, there's no fans in the stands for any conference team. And so, Garrett, do you want to kind of hit on how difficult it must be to not be able to have that home court advantage for the Beavers and for them to have to kind of create their own energy, kind of just using the bench and the plays that are happening on the court?
It's got to be extremely tough. I played basketball in high school, and I noticed just how much our home court advantage helped you and the fans there. I couldn't imagine playing without the fans. And then the bench did a good job yesterday. As you can tell, later in the game, I think there might have been an and one or a good finish, and the bench got up, you know, and they're clapping and cheering and flexing on them. But that's just what they got to do in order to bring some energy and to keep the momentum rolling for the Beavers.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think Coach Neal will definitely take a 4-0 start, but his eyes are definitely now focused on Manchester, as they have two important games with an opportunity to go 6-0 in the conference to start this conference season, which will be huge. Another team that's normally supposed to be playing in the fall but has now started their season here in the end of January is the Bluffton Beavers volleyball team. The Bluffton University volleyball team returned to the court for their first matches since October 25th. Night one of the Heartland Conference volleyball season saw the Beavers rally twice from 2-0 deficits to take down Earlham in 10 heavyweight sets on Friday, January 22nd. Bluffton moved to 7-0 on the season and 1-0 in the Heartland Conference, while Earlham opened its season with an 0-2 mark.
Senior Remy Bauer powered the home team in the first set, pounding 21 kills while firing a career-best 5 aces and picking up 12 digs. Sophomore Kaylee Campbell and junior Cassidy Posey just missed out on double digits with 9 kills apiece.
Sophomore Ellie Price doled out 33 assists for the victors. Bauer was one of 5 women to notch double digits and pickups during the first match. Junior Brooke Kilman led the Beavers with 17, while Chelsea Taylor and Courtney Weekly finished with 16 and 15, respectively. Price made it a double digit with 14 pickups of her own.
Everybody got involved in round two on Friday night, as all 16 Beavers who were dressed made it into the lineup. Campbell was outstanding with 10 kills against just one error for a .346 hitting percentage in 3 sets.
Noelle Ufferman and Posey chipped in with 8 and 7 kills, respectively. Price dished out 19 assists in her 3 sets, while Ufferman handed out 11 helpers. Ufferman and Kelman chipped in with 8 digs apiece, while just one behind Price's 9 pickups. Campbell was in on 4 blocks, while Bauer and Price just rifled 3 service aces.
Despite digging a pair of 2-set holes, the Beavers kept their season mark spotless, winning 3 sets twice on Friday in front of a mammoth contingent of online viewers.
Bluffton will be back in action in the Sommer Center for a pair of matches against Anderson University on Wednesday, January 27th. First serve is slated for 6 p.m. Go ahead and follow in on the live stream and live stats from the Bluffton Volleyball schedule page, as they are not allowing fans at the contest. And for the Beavers to come back and fight through from 2 sets down, it's huge to be able to get a victory and start perfect in the conference. And for if you're Coach Yarnell, you have to be extremely excited, considering you lost 2 starters between October 25th and now January 22nd when you played your first game. Maddie White, Sarah Heidinger are no longer on the team. And to be able to have the depth to be able to come out and have the perseverance to go down 2 sets, had a little bit of a shaky and rough start in both of those games, but to come back and win, I think that's huge for the Beavers.
Yeah, it shows the resiliency of the group to do that twice in one night against the same opponent and not a bum Earlham team. They're preseason ranked 3rd in the conference. That's a team that will be at the end of the year. They'll be at a good place. So to do that and to protect home court is huge, and it's a great start to the year for them. and hopefully they can keep it coming. They play, as opposed to the basketball team playing every weekend, they do have a midweek midweek game, so they got to turn around and figure out a way on doubleheader against Anderson, who, yeah, they're going to be good as well. So, I mean, it's right where you want to be. Again, as we talked about with the basketball programs being undefeated, 1-0 or 2-0 is where you want to be.
Yeah, and with the with this volleyball team, they are playing everyone in the conference, and all games will be double headers. And so that will have a huge effect on the season and on the games. And so if you're the Beavers, you just have to continue to fight and persevere. I mean, you saw it already, and I think you'll continue to see that out of the Beavers team. But we're going to go ahead and move on here to track and field as they – traveled to Rose Holman for the indoor opener. The Beavers kicked off their 2021 indoor track season with the 2021 Friday Night Spikes opener at the Rose Holman Institute of Technology on Friday, January 15th. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, they were unable to compete in an outdoor track season, so this was the first live competition the Beavers had since the end of their 2020 indoor track season.
The meet had a great start with sophomore Madeline Schaefer taking second place in the long jump. Also earning second place was sophomore Emma Payne in the weight throw.
The goal of the first meet is always to keep technique together, and I thought this team did that very well. The big marks will come later. I look forward to getting back to work for another solid week of training. Explained throws and head coach Kaylee Jackno.
Yakno. Leading the women's 60-meter dash for the Beavers was sophomore Nina McGinn with a time of 8.34 seconds. McGinn also led the women's 200-meter dash with a time of 28.93 seconds and was accompanied by her teammate Schaefer with a time of 29.03, who took second place in the 200-meter dash. In the 3,000-meter run, freshman Miranda Billman finished in second place with a time of 11 minutes and 58.82 seconds, followed by her teammate and fellow freshman Mackenzie Brownrigg, who placed third with a time of 23.35 seconds.
I thought it was a solid start to the season, said distance coach Logan Wells. We're not at full capacity yet, either in training or in personnel, but everyone gave a good effort and set a solid foundation for the rest of the season.
For the men, junior Brandon James won the men's long jump with a leap of 6.34 meters. Also winning his event was freshman Desmond Gist and 60-meter hurdles with a time of 8.85. Junior Dalton Tainer finished a 200-meter dash in third place with a time of 24.
Overall, the Bluffton women finished in second place, and men took third place.
We are so grateful for Rose Holman hosting us. They always put on a fantastic meet. I thought the team competed very well for our season opener. We had several individual standouts, but as a team, we showed great potential. I'm excited to see what next week holds as we head to Tiffin University, said head coach Jaylee Jackno.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we do not have results yet from that Tiffin meet, but once we get that in, we will have the results for you guys next week. But overall, for the track team, you have to be extremely excited. It's been a while since you've competed. The end of last indoor season, since outdoor was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so for them, you have to be extremely excited with how the season has started. And they're also missing a lot of people. You have girls that are on the volleyball team that are also on the track team. And so right now they are not competing for the track team until volleyball season gets finished. Volleyball will finish in February, so they'll be more available for outdoor track meet compared to more indoor track meet. You also have fellow soccer players in Christian Parker and Dalton Tainer who right now are competing, but once soccer season starts, they will go ahead and drop from the track team, join the soccer team, and once the soccer team is finished with their season, they will join back up with the track team. And so overall, it's going to be a weird and crazy season for this track team, but I think Coach Yakno and her team, which has a lot more depth this year compared to previous years, is excited to just be able to go out and compete.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about depth every team, and the fact that a lot of athletes are two-sport athletes, so it's a bit of a struggle there which one to pick. Dalton and Christian, they'll be on the soccer field once they're finished with their track season, and we're excited to get them back, as well as, you know, I can't imagine how much the track team misses all those athletes, not let alone just the ones that are on the volleyball team.
Yeah, so we, like we said, this is going to be a crazy spring semester, and you're going to be seeing almost every single sports team. And when I say every sports team competing, you have to include cross country in that, as they're going to be competing with the track team every single week. And so every team that the Beavers have will be competing at some point during the spring semester. But I do want to end the show with a huge announcement. Last week, the Bluffton University announced that they will be adding a swimming and diving team for the 2021-2022 athletic season. Grant, Garrett, do you guys have anything to say on that and about how important it is for Bluffton to be adding a swimming and diving team for this upcoming academic year?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't really heard any rumors about that, but then I saw that happen and I was like, that's interesting. But I mean, it's just another team we can talk about and another sport that hopefully Bluffton can compete at a high level at, you know.
Yes, they will be looking for a new swimming and diving coach right away, as recruiting does get started right away as they get ready to try and field a team for this upcoming year. And I'm excited about it. I think it'll be good, and it's just going to bring more athletes to campus, which I think Bluffton University, I mean, a lot of the students here on campus are athletes, and so it's another recruiting tool to bring more students here to campus. But that does wrap up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Patrick Spillman, joined alongside Grant Ingham and Garrett Heitkamp. And we thank you for listening to the 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beavers.